Chapter 15. The Chase. I stayed in my burrow for 11 days. That seemed enough time to persuade Quive Smith that I had either died in my hiding place or left the district. I wondered whether he had left the area too. Asmodeus' behaviour suggested that there was no one in the lane. He had stayed out of the burrow for the last 3 days. Obviously, he couldn't stand the dirt any longer. I wanted to know if Quive Smith was still in the area. As I couldn't climb a tree or walk on open ground without the danger of Quive Smith seeing me, I decided to look for him during the night hours. When I crawled outside, it was cold and dark. It was good to be in the fresh air again. I moved slowly across the land to Patachon's farm and climbed onto the roof of one of the buildings, from where I could see into the living room. It was a tranquil scene. Quive Smith was teaching Patachon's small daughter to play chess. At first, I was surprised to see him sitting so carelessly before a lighted window. But then I understood that he was really very clever. He understood that he was safe because he knew that I would never shoot at him while he was so near the girl. It was a terrible shock to find him still there. The 11 days had seemed an eternity to me, and I now realized that Quive Smith might stay for weeks. I couldn't stand the thought of returning to the burrow, and I decided to move into open country again. I really intended to escape, although I knew that my chances were small. I watched the living room until the child went to bed. Then the major went to sit with Patachon in front of the fire, and they began to read the newspapers. There was nothing more to be learned. I moved slowly towards the edge of the roof. It was an old building, and I was frightened that the roof would break under my weight, and that is exactly what happened. I suddenly felt the whole roof collapsing under me, and I fell onto a pile of iron water containers. The noise was terrible. I ran to the door of the building as quickly as I could, but I saw that Quive Smith had opened the living room window and his long legs were already outside. My only thought was that he mustn't know that I was still in this part of the country. I ran back into the building and hid between two of the iron water containers, which were covered by pieces of stone and wood from the roof. Quive Smith and Patachon arrived a few seconds later. Patachon shone his torch into the building, but when they didn't see anybody, they left to search the rest of the farm. I waited until I heard the farmhouse door being shut and locked, then I crawled out of the building. I've got no excuse for what I did next. I had begun to think like an animal and to depend on my instinct. It had preserved me many times, and now I accepted its power completely. I didn't stop to think that my instinct might be terribly wrong. I didn't think. I didn't reason. I was hurt and frightened, so I went without thinking to safety. Not to a specific place, but to safety in general. And that meant my burrow. Darkness, rest, freedom from being hunted. I was going to regret this decision later. I didn't take a direct route back to my burrow to make sure that Quive Smith wasn't following me. All the next day, I stayed underground, congratulating myself on my safe return. The smell and the dirt were horrible, but I tolerated them, persuading myself that in 3 or 4 days I could open my door and clean and dry the place. I also hoped that Asmodeus would come back and we could live peacefully together until it was safe for me to go to a port and leave the country. I now looked healthy enough. My hands were all right, and although my eyes were dirty and bloodshot, the injury to my left eye wasn't so obvious anymore. When night came, I heard some activity in the lane, and I sat with my ear to the ventilation hole. I couldn't understand the noises, but I understood that there were 2 men there. I heard them move something heavy against the door on the other side of the burrow. I was terrified. My heart was beating as if I had been running for my life. "They won't be able to catch me," I said to myself repeatedly. Then I heard the noise of someone pushing something into the opening of the chimney. "It's one of the men," I thought. "They've come to get me." I took my knife in my hand and waited.